CliffCentral.com. You know, it's a Friday when you're in the mood, and then, you know, it's kind of rainy, but we get that all out of the way because this is CliffCentral.com. Thank you so much for having us on. It's a few minutes past nine, so let's get the ball officially rolling. This is Untapped Talent. Revolution. So welcome to it. My name is Sia Sangwenifin, and thank you so much for having us on. Feels good to be back. If you did notice, I was not here last week, and I had a little boo-hoo-hoo moment as I wasn't in studio. But you know what matters the most? That I'm back now. So I have a little hour and a half planned for you guys, and I think, you know, it's quite interesting that I'll be chatting to some female cricket players. You know, we hear a lot about the Proteas and their tour, and they're off to all these exotic places in the world. Now, mind you, I still don't really understand a lot of cricket. You know, all I know is like their innings, and you go out and there's a batsman and. But I think it'll be interesting to chat to them. So I have three members of the SA Under 19 cricket team who will be coming into studio to join me in just a little bit. But before that, I actually want to give you a little breakdown of why I was actually not here last year, because I feel like I owe it to you. It's one of those things. I was actually at the Durban International Film Festival with Terry Pettor, who stars in the movie Tsotsi, and she's an acclaimed South African actress, and now she has her own production company as well. It's called Leading Lady Productions, and so she had a Leading Lady Lounge at the Durban International Film Festival, where like-minded people who are lovers of the arts, and they were legends in the arts industry as well, who all gather there really to share experiences and to learn from each other, etc., etc. And I just sat there milking it all, learning a lot, and it was an awesome, awesome experience. But even bigger than that, excuse me, Terry actually premiered her movie. So this is her first role as producer, really. And her movie is titled Ayand and the Mechanic, which really has premiered in Cannes, and it got great reviews there. It also went to LA and actually got a special mention award. And so on the Thursday evening last week, it premiered for its very first South African screening at the Durban International Film Festival, and really got an amazing, amazing reception. I was speaking to a lot of people there, and they were saying what they like about it is just like, it's a different South African story. It's authentically South African, but there was a lot of hard work and effort put into the movie. You can definitely tell by the production. And there were even like great reviews on the likes of the music from the actual movie, because it was done by a legendary musician, Thandiswa Mazwai. So there was a lot going on, and I really, really enjoyed myself there, and really learned a lot as well. But one of the highlights as well is that I got to speak to the lead actress of the movie. Her name is Fulu. She's a young up-and-coming actress. And so, you know, Untapped Talent, always shining the spotlight on young up-and-coming people. So even bigger and better than that, how about we talk to a lead actress of a movie? So I stole just a few minutes with Fulu, and this is what she had to say. CliffCentral.com. I'm so pleased to chat to this actress, an all-round awesome person. She's the star of the movie Ayanda. It's Fulu Mugbani.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, I love it too.
I always sometimes say, I wish I had a nice, strong, traditional name.
You know what? What's your name?
Sia.
You see, Sia Bonga. You know what it is? Fulu. Okay, I'll give it to you. But yeah, the thing is, you kind of like, with accents here, like Zulu accent to Zulu accent,
yeah,
you couldn't really say Furupero. That's a strong name.
Oh, you see.
Now, Fulu is a bit diluted.
Yeah. But I want to go around saying Furubero.
Furubero.
Yes.
Thank you, though.
Fulu, are you in this moment? Take me through how you're feeling right now. We're at the Durban International Film Festival, the Leading Lady Lounge. Last night, we just opened up Ayanda, the movie.
Amazing.
In South Africa. Yes. How were we feeling?
I was anxious. And for some reason, unlike when we went to Cannes and to LA, I was so much at ease. I was taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
And because Terry, I remember her saying, you know what, you need to take this in, because when times get hard in the future, at least you have this to look back to, and
yeah,
you will remember this as your moment. And I'm learning to take it in. It's been amazing. The reception, first of all, is amazing. People are loving Ayanda, and most importantly, they're loving the ensemble work.
Yeah.
They're loving how much everyone contributed. The animation, the music. Thandiswa Mazwai, I mean, the music. Did you hear?
It was
amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have that collaboration with South African music, and to have South African veterans like Ntate Moshe, South African actors, and a South African story.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
How did it feel walking onto the set for the very first time?
I was nervous.
Yeah.
Actually, I was beyond nervous. I was terrified. And the first thing that I did was they gave me that that metal grinder.
Yeah.
The first scene.
That's the
that
first
I did,
scene?
Can you believe it? I was like, Sarah. She's like, yeah, you are Yandamos, ne?
Yeah, but my hands would be shaking. I'm like, I don't think I can manage this.
We're here to protect you. You'll be fine. So I went like, we did like 2 minutes of just trying to work it. But I had to pull it off. And it helped that we workshopped before.
Yeah.
So going on set the first time was better because I was familiar with the story.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing that I need to familiarize myself with was the set.
Mm.
But it was perfect. The garage was perfect. I loved it there.
How would you describe your role in this movie?
Oh, well, she's the lead, right?
Yes.
She's the protagonist. And I think she plays a very important role. And she links everyone in the story. Because she's the one person that is has a relationship with each and every character that is in the story, whether negative or positive.
Yeah.
So I think that Ayanda plays a big role at telling a very imperfect story. I mean, a lot of us, not only in South Africa, but universally, we it takes us a long time to get to deal with loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she portrays it with such ease.
The loss of her father in this case.
The loss
case,
of her
in
father
movie.
In this
yeah.
case, of course. And the fact that she's a little girl who has no idea that she needs to deal with it.
21,
she's keeping him alive.
I mean, yeah.
She's keeping him alive, literally. And we do that. We hoard things. We hoard emotion and we hoard people that are gone.
Yeah.
And I think she also brings Yeovil to life. She brings originality to life. She brings little girls to life.
Yeah.
Like 21-year-olds are supposed to look and act like that. They're not supposed to look like what we see every day on TV.
Yeah.
It's okay for you to look like that. It's okay for you to be a free spirit and to be the true definition of it, meaning that you're not confined or constrained by opinions of men.
Yeah. And it's okay
beings.
Not to be okay.
It's okay
you
not to
don't
be
have,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Totally.
You know, what I really marvel at about actors and actresses is the profession isn't like a proper 9-to-5. You know, isn't like any sort of ordinary, okay, I'm just signing a contract and I'll tap out and
no,
I'm out. You know,
yeah.
This is a real personal connection.
Yes.
So when you were offered the role of Ayanda, uh-huh. what was that deal sealer for you? You said you were going to do this because...
I was going to do this because it would validate me as an actress. I was going to do this because it would challenge me as an actress. I was going to do this because it's unlike any other character I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey was worth it. It's been worth it. I don't even know how many times I could say this because literally I've grown so much and I've learned so much. I mean, I'm working with Sarah Blecha.
Wow.
I'm working with Ntate Moshesh. I'm working with Kenneth. I'm working with Thomas Gumede. I'm working with Jafta. I'm working with OC.
Yeah.
So I had people that I looked up to, great actors that I got to share a platform with. And I consider that the biggest learning curve ever. So that's why I did the film. And I mean, reading the script, if you watch the film, you will see clearly that this is perfect for me, even because I got to let go of a lot of my insecurities mm-hmm. as a human being,
yeah.
as a girl. And I got to be vulnerable. And that's something that I hadn't. I wasn't genuinely vulnerable in all the other roles that I've played in the past. I was mm-hmm. putting it on. And this allowed me to take away that veil and to be raw. And it's okay because this is what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is how you're going to do it.
How would you describe, now when it's not just a movie anymore, how would you describe the experience that was Ayanda?
Wow. It changed my life. Mm-hmm. It made me respect my craft. It made me respect the South African industry. Because we're in South Africa, most of the time you dream of Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
You dream of Broadway. You dream to go overseas. But it made me dream of being here and making a difference here and carving and cultivating my talent here in this country because of stories like this and because of platforms that I've been given. And mm-hmm. so far, it's been good. I mean, it's opened doors for me and people respect me and people want to work with me. And you can't ask for anything better. You really can't.
And I couldn't have asked for a better interview.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Quick, easy, painless, straight to the point, inspiring.
Oh.
You're awesome.
You're awesome too, Sia.
Oh, let's just stay here and
let's just look at each other.
Yeah, let's say nice things about each other.
Oh, awesome.
Fully, you're awesome. All
Thank
the best
you
for the future.
So
hey.
Much. Thank you.
Awesome. Cliff Central. What awesome people. Like, I really enjoyed getting to chat to them and being in that environment and learning more about the craft. You know, you just see a movie, it's 90 odd minutes, and you may take it lightly, but the energy, the effort that goes into something like that just for our enjoyment is absolutely awesome. So I love chatting to her. Jan, she's really particularly herself. She's fully has been receiving rave reviews as well. You know, going on, they describe, you know, the movie Ayand as a South African coming of age picture. But they really do point out that the way she took on the role of Ayanda, you know, this young 21-year-old girl who just lost her father and wants to carry on her father's legacy, in his, as a mechanic, really, is quite remarkable, really. So I enjoyed that. And someone else I also spoke to was O.C. Ugeje. He plays the male lead in the movie as well. And he's actually from Nigeria. So this was his first production outside of Nigeria. And hey, it had just happened to be South Africa. So it was cool stuff also getting to chat to him. And here's what he had to say. CliffCentral.com. I don't know how to start to introduce the guy that's sitting next to me, because he goes by the Twitter handle of at OC the Great Ugeje. So let's just get that out of the way. Is okay. The great part of it?
Well, I mean, it was something that I picked from Alexander the Great.
Okay.
You know, and my people never gave us English names, yeah. But I knew that if I wanted an English name, I wanted it to be Alexander.
You wanted to be powerful, to mean something.
It just had a ring to it.
Yes.
And so sometime I was just messing about on BlackBerry, and I just put OC the Great. And then it cleared up, and my girlfriend at the time had asked me, why did you take it out? I'm like, nothing. She was like, no, just put it back.
Oh.
And that's how it stayed.
And it stuck.
And it stuck. And yeah. Then when I started, you know, working with people, and they're like, yeah, you should just go with the whole thing. So I didn't have a plan. It just happened to stick, and we went on with it, basically.
So, OC, when you aren't busy being great, you also do act.
Yes,
and that is why I'm chatting to you. You star in the new movie, Ayanda.
Absolutely.
Which premiered at the Durban International Film Festival last night.
Yes.
Let's chat about that and your role. Okay. How would you describe your role in the movie?
I think that David is, a Nigerian immigrant who basically wants the best out of life, has a perspective to life, has a view on what he wants, understands the concept of sacrifices and pursuits and difficulties that come with that. Because through the story, you see where he internalizes these things and decides on what should go with his life. And so he's about that sort of he's into himself as well. And you find that, you know, that he's not into too much words or too much talk. He's introspective. I think that's the word I was looking for. And I thoroughly enjoyed playing that, because it gives you a side where you are more impactful with the little that you say, you know. And then obviously, like, the look that they gave to him, just so that it can create a bit of a difference.
So
as
now
well.
I have to ask, what are the similarities between David and OC?
I don't think there is much,
oh,
actually.
Nothing?
No, I don't think we have much in common, really.
Okay, you said that, then it's fine. Yeah. Let's also talk about the relationships you have in the movie.
Okay.
Are you ever apprehensive about that, going into like a starring role? Are you ever apprehensive like, what if I don't gel with the other actors? What if we can't commit to?
The apprehension is a constant factor.
Wow.
Especially because you just never know what to expect with the people. And the interesting thing about portraying romance on TV is you want it to be believable, and you want people to want to feel what you guys are feeling then. So you're always apprehensive about if the person is going to commit.
Because, so to speak, we have moved from a different age of acting. You know, we aren't trying to make things cheesy, but we're trying to be very believable on
screens.
So I'm sure that must be a bit of pressure as well when you go into a role.
Yeah, it is. Especially because in your mind, you kind of know how, if you, when you're in your personal relationships, you get away with a lot of things. But when you see it on TV, you want people to see what they want to see on TV.
Yeah.
And so you're committed to doing what you should, and you hope that your whoever you're working with is also committed. And with this film, I have to say, Fulu was, you know, outstanding, and it was nice to have the conversation.
And you're not just saying that because she's like a few steps away. You genuinely mean
it. I tell her this all the time. I'm sure she's tired of hearing it, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and it just really helped to make things easy. And then, yeah, to some degree, I also felt like an outsider, since I'm the one who's the only Nigerian, well, the Nigerian they brought in for the film. So gaining that acceptance through it, and then, you know, being able to make those scenes work for me as well, that was very good, actually.
On that note, this is your first project outside of Nigeria, am I right?
This is my first project in South Africa.
In South Africa, yeah. And how was that for you?
It was nice. I've always wanted to work here because I find that the production values for the films are really amazing, really interesting. And I guess also finding what happens in other countries as far as their film business is concerned. And then again, working with other actors. Because when you work in your country, you kind of know everyone. Yeah. And you've worked with a couple of people. So
did you feel like you were at a level where you're like, I got this? You needed a new challenge, as a great OC would do?
Well, there is a hint.
I knew it. I'm not going to let it go of the great. You go with your greatness. Yeah.
You know that, you've had a good time with the films you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for new opportunities and new challenges and just the freshness of working with new people.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing what other people are like, you know, their perspectives and whatnot. And seeing all of that drama really just helps to make even your own personal story more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very open to that. I wanted it to happen.
Why would you make other? How would you make other people go and watch Ayanda?
Well, I think that the first thing I would say is, if you have ever heard of a name called Tara Bletcher before, you know that the name is synonymous with, you know, awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you want to go and watch it simply because Sarah Bletcher made it. And outside of that, it is an ensemble that you would always think of, you would always dream of.
Yeah.
So go and watch Ayanda simply because it's amazing.
And, you know, if you ever needed any other motivation, the great OC stars in it.
No, I would put Fulu before me, but I am kind of in the film as
Listen,
well.
Listen, can I contact, like, your agent? I think it should be a thing. It should be OC the great. It should be on posters everywhere. Some company should put it on a can.
Right.
But OC, thank you so much for making time out for Cliff Central.
Thank you
And
very
all
much,
the best man. With Ayanda and the rest of your
thank
career.
You very much. Appreciate
Fantastic.
It.
CliffCentral.com. I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye-Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye-Gold. We are one.
Flying fish now has even more flavor.
Wow! More flavor!
Huh?
Hey!
Whatcha doing?
Bring even more flavor!
Alright! Introducing new chilled green apple.
Chilled green apple!
It's a beer with all the bitterness brewed out and green apple flavor brewed in.
I see the flavor's brewed in.
Go on, add some flavor.
Don't mind if I do.
Enjoy responsibly. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
Aye, aye, aye. Say what you will, but when hashtag rain and M1 North are trending on Twitter, you know you're really not in a good space. So my guest, the female cricketers, they knocked this one out of the park. Is that a good cricket analogy? No, I feel like that's baseball and not necessarily cricket. But they're still stuck in traffic. So I think let's just take more time to actually look back on Durban and all that was at the Leading Lady Lounge with Terry Peto at the Durban International Film Festival. So someone else that I got to speak to is a young, relatively young, Afrikaans actress who goes by the name of Charlene Brouwer, and she stars in the new movie Dis Ek Anna. Now, I actually pointed this out in the interview that I had with her, but you watch a movie and it's sort of entertainment. Then, you know, you just get that one line of based on a real story. Then you're like, okay, all hell is about to break loose on this one. So yes, Dis Ek Anna is based on a true story and I'm not going to spoil it too much for you. Let her do the explaining. So her name is Charlene.
CliffCentral.com.
I'm now chatting to Charlene Brouwer, who, you know, I've been doing some little Twitter stalking, Charlene, here. And you describe yourself on your Twitter bio as an actress, model, director, writer, blogger. But what I'm most drawn to is you also describe yourself as someone who does what they do with passion. What does passion mean to you?
Passion means getting somewhere and defying the odds. Why I'm saying that is, like, I think your audience knows we're at the Durban International Film Festival, and I just had a discussion with a lot of other actors, and for a very...
What an interesting panel, I have to say.
And you how, know? Do you understand? I was so petrified. I mean, I've been in the industry since 2003.
Wow.
And
so that's a good 12 years?
Yes. Yeah. And nobody has a clue who I am. Which I prefer it that way. And, and to get back to passion, I've been doing it for 12 years. And like I said in the panel, I never had the opportunity to study drama.
Yeah.
I finished my studies through UNISA by working four jobs.
Wow. And four jobs.
Yes. I used to be a door lady at a restaurant.
Okay.
I used to work as an actress in a soap, actually a very well-known Afrikaans soap. I used to work for USN as a promotion girl and part-time booker for my agents.
And so then you also had to sometimes schedule in breathing and sleeping.
Sleep. Yeah. Sleep was a big thing in my life. So people, all my friends knew when I said I can't see you, they knew it's Charlene needs to sleep, otherwise things are going to end badly.
Of course.
But that to me is passion, and I don't want to sound like I have all the answers or that I don't want to be that person. I don't have the answers, but I have time. There was a guy asking in the audience, and my heart bled because I actually understand what he asked. He asked, what does actors give back to people that don't necessarily have the know-how to get where they have to go to? And I mean, my answer there, and I didn't have the opportunity to answer, is passion.
Yeah.
Is I agree with Kenneth when he said it's not an actor's job to give another actor a job, but it is, I think, actors, directors, filmmakers, whoever, we need to give back, and we need to start workshops, and we need to start creating the passion in people that don't have the opportunities to study, because sometimes the best don't have education, they've got heart.
Yeah.
And that's what I, to get back a very long answer to a very
I
short
love
question.
It. I love
sorry.
It though. It was so philosophical, got me all
Don't
fluffy.
Ask me questions, no. We'll sit here the whole day.
All right, then I'll just sit here and I'll compliment you. Because rightfully so, you deserve so much praise, because I think the word passion really does describe you so well. You know, 12 years in this industry, you know, most people, if they are in 2 years and they don't have a billboard and everybody doesn't see them because they're just running after fame, then they're like, okay, done with this, you know? So what would you have to say to those people who really are just fame hungry and not in it for the right reasons? Does that sort of irritate you, or do you not take lightly to that?
I'm going to be very, very honest. I'm one of those people, each to their own. Once again, I don't want to sound like I have all the answers.
But I mean, in a line out, what do you call it? In a castings, yeah.
In a casting,
I was about to say like a line out prison.
I am 31 this year, and when I was younger, I used to be angry as an actress. I used to be angry because for Desak Anna, Neil did explain to you what the film is about. It's about sexual abuse, and I had to cut my hair, for instance. And for many, many, many years, I've been typecasted as in Afrikaans, you call it mooi poppie leer koppie. And it means pretty lady, empty head.
Yes.
And moment I cut my hair, and I insisted to cut my hair, was to be taken seriously. Mm. And why I'm answering you in this way, I don't mind for the Kardashians. I don't mind for... When I was younger, I was very angry because I didn't understand, and I worked really, really hard. But...
Yeah.
I think everybody has their own journey, and wherever it leads you, that's your path and not mine. And as a 31-year-old, and hopefully I get the opportunity to grow older, I'm excited to see where my path leads me, but I also own other people, their paths. So
I'm saying that is why you're sitting on the other side, and that's why you have all this praise, because you're wiser than me. I would be slashing people's tires.
No, but how old are you now?
Exactly. That says a lot. That says a lot. Moving on. I have to
not
ask
to be
you.
Derogatory.
Now I'm so depressed. I don't think I want to do this.
No, you're young. Experience.
I have to ask you this, though. As an actress, I'm sure you have that ideal role that you one day want to play.
Oh, my what word. Is that I for just you? Played it.
Really?
I just played it. Desak Anna was... It is actually scary to death that I just played the role that I've always wanted
is
to play.
Is it exactly what you wanted?
It is exactly what I wanted to.
Wow.
I proved to myself that there's an inner strength that I didn't know I have by portraying a woman's life. And I don't know if Neil told you, but Desak Anna is based on a true woman's story. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity, it's based on two books. So the first book is real. She has been molested by a stepdad since 6 years old. And then the second book, the character I'm playing, is fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the responsibility to play a real life person's fiction. The thing she wanted to kill her stepdad, but she never did. So to take that upon your shoulders and to say, it was... And I'm very proud. I know one shouldn't say they're proud of their own work, but I'm exceptionally proud and happy.
Yeah.
But if I can play any other role, I would love to play Sophia.
Yeah, because I was about to ask, if you at
if
this
I
prime age have now played like a role you've always wanted to, I'm like, you cannot just sit at home. You're done.
Superhero geek in the
really?
World. In the world.
Like Marvel. Wonder Woman vibes? Is that what you're looking for?
Give them to me.
Yeah.
I'd like give a storm of X-Men. If I can play a superhero, I'm actually in
now
the process of writing a super South African superhero
yeah.
movie because I really want to play.
Now
a
with this gorgeous pixie cat, I can totally see it. You'll be a fiery, wonderful
give me
superhero.
Somebody. My superpowers will be the best.
What an awesome lady. All the best for the
Thank
future.
Thank you for the interview.
Thank you so
it was
much
lovely.
For stopping by. Charlene, all the best. CliffCentral.com. So we're still having guest drama because of the traffic and the rain and the Alice going on. But it's fine because it's like a little catch up from last week, giving you all the action from the Leading Lady Lounge at the Durban International Film Festival. So another person I got to speak to as well is also actually a Joburger who was down in Durban for the occasion. His name is Diel van Deventer, and he's a producer and also showcasing one of his films at the Durban International Film Festival. He gave us the lowdown on his movie, Dis Ek Anna, and all the little inside scoop of the movie business right here in South Africa. CliffCentral.com. The conversations just keep on continuing right here at the Durban International Film Festival at the Leading Lady Lounge, and I get to talk to interesting people with even interesting-er names, you see? As if interesting-er is a word. Neil van Deventer joins me now. He's a producer for Palama Productions based in Joburg, and you're all the way in Durban. Neil, what actually brings you here?
Well, we actually have a film in competition.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's quite nice. An Afrikaans film. I'm not 100% sure if I'm correct, but I think it's the only Afrikaans film showing at DIFF this year. It's called Dis Ek Anna.
Uh-huh.
And it was directed by the same director that directed the opening night film, Ayanda.
Yeah.
Sarah Bletcher.
Fantastic.
And yeah, it's her first take on Afrikaans. She's an English woman who's directed up till now a Zulu film, a Sotho film, and an Afrikaans film. So she's never directed an English film.
Talk about a new South African
amazing,
film woman. Exactly.
Yeah,
is this
your
first time at TIFF, or have you been here over
years?
No,
it's my first time, and it's quite. I'm overwhelmed. I must honestly say,
in a good way, hopefully,
in a very good way.
Yeah.
It's bigger. Huh? Wow. Yeah, I've never experienced anything like that. Coming from a production background mostly, and this is only my second film that I'm producing, and the previous one was a small-scale Afrikaans one, and this one, obviously being accepted into DIFF, was amazing.
Uh-huh.
But coming down here,
let's actually talk about that process, because I find it very interesting. So you work on a movie, so how do you submit it? You know, do you have to submit the movie to the DIFF board, or
yes.
does it get selected? How does that work?
No, so we were lucky with this one that Sarah is well known and loved in Durban. Her first film, the Zulu one I was talking about, Othello Burning, opened the festival in 2011.
Yes, that had rave
reviews. It was an amazing
awesome.
Film. And that was on that basis that we actually approached her to direct our film.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously a second film, Ayanda, opened last night. And she sent I think Pedro or whoever else at the
Pedro
festival.
Pedro, the CEO
of Dope. Yes, uh-huh. Yes. She sent them the link to an offline version that we had on Vimeo. And they watched it. And obviously, they have to sort of see merit in it, showing it here, because obviously the standard is quite high. So you have to submit.
Yeah.
So then they watched it, and they were very, very keen on having it here. And we're only actually going out in cinemas countrywide in end of October, so we weren't actually planning on being ready already, so
wow.
We had to rush, but we're good.
You had to make it happen.
We did, and yeah.
As a producer, I'm sure the whole connection of making the movie, you see it from the very first stages to now it being full-fledged and released. It must be a very intimate, very special process. So how do you feel now actually showing it off to the world?
Yeah, it's been a ride, an amazing ride for us. The film is set on two books. There's Anna and the State versus Anna Brevere, and it's about sexual abuse. A girl suffering sexual abuse by the hand of a stepfather, and then taking, revenge, you can almost say, and killing him, and the court case that ensues. I read the books. The first book came out almost 12 years ago. I read it then. Mm-hmm. And the second book came out 3 years ago, and that's when I started chasing the story. And so it's been coming 3 years with us, and it's been in a lot of potential shapes and sizes and forms. Wow. And this and that. But eventually, the way it worked out and it panned out with Sarah on board and with the cast, we had some amazing cast members amongst, others, Marius Veyers, who received the SAFTA for Lifetime Achievement at the SAFTAs this year.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. And I'm actually very looking forward to Sunday to actually see. I've seen this film more than 20 times already.
Oh, wow.
But to see it with an audience and to see it.
Their reactions as well. Yeah, I'm sure that must
I'm very
be something
much looking
interesting.
Forward to that, yeah.
But, I always, whenever I watch movies, yes, it can be all good and well and entertaining, but as soon as you see the heading based on a true story, or that makes you sit up and watch with a special eye. How do you actually draw the line of I'm a human and I really feel empathy to a story versus I'm now a producer and I need to do the show justice? Can you actually do both without being too emotional?
Yeah, I think from the get-go, our aim was to be very honest about it and mm-hmm. to respect someone's story, and not just one person who had the courage to write the story, but a lot of people, and actually a shockingly huge amount of people going through similar stuff. And that's what I said to everyone I approached to be part of it, cast and crew, was I explained to them the situation and the story and gave them some statistics about stuff that's actually currently still going on.
Yeah.
And said it's a respect thing. And so we had to do it as good as we can.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's a lot of people's stories, and it's not light entertainment.
Yes. I love the sound effects. This is exactly what you get at the Leading Lady Lounge. It's an interview. It's nice sound effects in the background. It's everything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But from you and your personal side, Neil, where to you from here?
Well, like I said earlier, we're going out in cinemas end of October, 30 of October, countrywide. But we have submitted to a lot of other international festivals. The first book has been translated into 6 languages.
Awesome.
And we are looking to, it's a story, like I said, about abuse, about sexual abuse and emotional abuse. And it's an under-addressed issue, I can mm-hmm. almost say. And it's something that we want to try with this project to shed some light on. And potentially just open some eyes, and if one person can come forward and say, you actually helped me coming forward and telling my story,
exactly.
I think it will be great, yeah.
Look at that, a producer who's out there to make a good, positive impact in the world. Neil, thank you so much for making time for Cliff Central.
Thank you very much.
Awesome
man.
Stuff.
CliffCentral.com.
I was actually joking with the guys at the Durban International Film Festival when I left. I was like, when you leave an international film festival, I don't think it's fair to just say goodbye, because that's so unmovie like to say. So I was like, okay, and cut. There you go. That's the only appropriate way to end it. So that was a little recap on the Durban International Film Festival. I had so much fun and a half at the Leading Lady Lounge. And finally, we can now move on to the lovely ladies sitting in front of me, who were the cause of my anxiety attack this morning. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
Good.
Okay, so let's start over this side. How about we each introduce ourselves?
My name is Chloe Tri.
Just get nice and close to the microphone as well. Yes.
My name is Chloe Tri.
Chloe, can we expose you with your middle name, with your little nickname?
Bushy.
There we go. And why do they call you Bushy?
Long story, but it's got to do with my hair.
There we go. And then next on the mic, as long as you also get nice and close.
Okay, I'm Masabata class.
Masabata. Yeah. Masabata, when's your birthday, just by the way?
On the 3rd of Feb.
And who also has a birthday on the 3rd of Feb?
You.
There we go. So I said, like, Masabata and I should be cool just based on the fact that we share birthdays. And then next on the mic,
I'm Laura Goodall.
Laura, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good, good. Do you also have an AKA?
No, I don't. I'm okay, normal. No.
So
I'm
you're normal. You aren't from Durban, so we don't have, like, a connection like I do with Chloe. Exactly. We don't share a birthday like I do with Masabata. Like, I don't know. Hopefully by the end of the interview, we'll have something.
Definitely.
That's it. Okay. So ladies, I definitely wanted to chat to you guys because you are female cricketers. Don't you feel like all the guys get all the attention sometimes? You play for the Proteas, the national team. That's nice and cool. So what's happening in the world of female cricket? Let me start with you, Laura.
I don't actually play for the national team just yet. Okay. But, I play in the emerging side, and that's where I do what I have to do, and I've been working with the national coaches and stuff, so they know what I can do.
Yeah.
And I'm still young, so hopefully one day I'll
That's
get
cool. Are you guys all under 19?
No.
I'm only 19.
You see, that's the nice connection.
I'm
You're
19.
The under 19. We're the young ones around here. So we'll go with that. When did you get into cricket?
I got into cricket when I was about 5-6 years old with my brother, because in the streets that I grew up in, there was no girls my age. So it was only guys. So it's either sit alone, do nothing, or join the guys. And I picked it up from there, and I just got a passion for it.
Yeah, you grew up in the Western Cape, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so that's my thing. Like, I have no hand-eye coordination. Like, I still get confused with what touch, crouch, engage from rugby. Explain the basics of cricket to me, if you had to explain it that way.
I definitely say you need to know how to bowl.
Okay.
You need to use your body, basically, to be accurate.
Yeah.
And then batting is all, it's hand-eye coordination. You need to
exactly.
use your hands.
So I could never be a batsman.
No. Not.
What's
not
your position,
all.
By the way?
I'm a batting all-rounder, so batting is my preference, but I bowl a bit as well.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think this interview is doing wonders for my self-esteem, because I now just realize how crap I am at everything. And then Masabata, you are an all-rounder as well. So that's a nice, cool thing to go around saying that you're an all-rounder. When did you get in touch, interested in cricket?
Yeah, I would say at the age of 9.
At 9?
Yeah, at primary school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I used to play with the boys, so that's where I started to like cricket.
Yeah. Were you always just like a sporting junkie?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so school us. Let us know. This is your time to show off. What else were you into?
I play soccer, athletic, yeah.
Yeah.
I even try netball, though.
Did you try?
Really? Yeah, yeah.
How are you netball? Or is that something you're not proud of? I feel like netball is a nice, cool, little funky sport as well. I think like that's more chilled. But isn't cricket also nice, high energy?
Yeah, it is.
And is that one of the things that you're also drawn to? Okay, and then I'm not going to call you Chloe. I'm just going to call you Bushy.
Bushy's the name.
Bushy, when did you get into cricket?
I held my first bat at the age of 3. So
at 3?
Yeah, at 3.
You guys, stop this. 3 at 9? When I was 3, I was like eating crayons. I have nothing like great to say about 3. Do you come from a sporting family?
Yeah, well, my dad loves sports, so, and he taught me to play cricket, so... Since then, I just love sports.
Yeah.
So, outdoors.
The interesting thing is, when did it go from you're interested in sports to now saying I'm going to take this seriously and, you know, probably professionally as well?
I think when I was in primary school, I used to play a lot of the boys. And one of my coaches actually recognized me and he said, why don't you just, you know, make it a career?
Yeah.
And since from primary school, I just pushed myself. And when I made the men's under 16 team, I was just playing with them until I got called for women's side.
Yeah.
And I went to go play with the women. And since then, I've just loved it.
But ladies, you know, all three of you actually mentioned a phrase almost of like, no, you used to play with the boys, or this is, you know.
We all played with the boys. That's how it starts. Because at primary school, it's never a girl side. So it's either you play with the guys or you don't play at all.
Yeah. But let's just talk about that quickly. Do you think that's fair that there's like a boys' sport and a girls' sport, and now you feel like you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing by trying to play cricket? Do you think that's fair?
No, I don't think it's fair, but cricket is more of a male dominant sport, so most guys play. So for us to be playing, but we got a lot of respect from the guys. We played a lot with the guys, so especially the guys here at the Academy in Pretoria.
Yeah.
I think I played with some of the guys there, so the respect that we have for each other is really good.
Yeah.
And we don't get cheated out. We a girl.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We still play as good as them.
So I the still feel that. And the recognition in public, is that all? Do they take you seriously as cricket players, even though you are women?
It's getting a lot of exposure now. We're getting a lot of exposure that, because some people still don't realize that there's actually women that play cricket.
So. Yeah.
There's a lot of exposure that we're getting, especially now, like radio interviews, TV interviews, and it's just getting people more known to the sport.
Yeah. How is it on an equal world stage? How is cricket, female cricket, taken? Because, like, I think there was a bit of a saga, and pardon me if my facts aren't correct, I think it was with the Soccer World Cup, where, you know, with the men's side, of course, it's a big spectacle, but with the female World Cup, I think it was, they made the ladies play on AstroTurf. And there was this whole debate of, like, they would never do that to men. They would never just put men on AstroTurf, and now they're doing it with ladies. Do you feel like there's a double standard? Let me ask you, Laura.
I think with the soccer thing, I'm not really sure because I don't really know about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, with cricket, it's like at the World Cups now, the women are getting as much exposure as the men do, and I think that it hasn't been like that.
Yeah.
I know for the last T20 World Cup, that's the first time that I actually watched the Women's World Cup, Cricket World Cup, and I've been playing cricket.
Yeah.
Just to show that now they're eventually starting to show it on TV, and people around the world are actually watching it, which means cricket, women's cricket, is going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, Masawato, who are some of the cricket players that you look up to, like the female cricket players?
For me, I'll say Shipna Mishmil. Yeah.
Okay. You see, I thought maybe you're gonna reference someone, then I might know them, and I'm like, who now? I think I know Maria Sharapova is tennis. Never mind. I just lost all street cred. Okay. So who are and how is that though with regards to the icon level of female cricket players? You know, you hear about the great, your Sachin Tendulkars and the et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Do we get enough praise or recognition given to the great female cricket players as well?
I think we do. Like, Australia and England are professionals. They're professional in their country. So you can see that they have world-class players. Their games are all televised.
Yeah.
Compared to us, I think we're still getting there. But they are world-class players there. And they're starting leagues like the Big Bash in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get internationals from all around the world. So that's a really big sign for women's cricket.
Yeah.
And, so it's just getting in the... we're getting more exposure. It's going in the right direction. And we're just enjoying it.
Yeah. And talking about that right direction, though, the mere fact that we have a cricket academy devoted to both male and female cricket players, I think is a big, big, amazing step. Yeah. So that's cool. And how far do you think South Africa still has to go with recognizing female cricket? Are we there yet?
Definitely not. I think we still have a lot to do. But I mean, I know this year, I think they're televising some of the T20 games. So the girls are going to play curtain
now,
races.
Hold up.
The men.
Okay. Sorry to just derail you.
What is a T20 game?
I know ODI.
It's a 20 over game.
So okay. It's 20 overs a side.
20 overs a side.
So we bat 20 overs and the other side bats 20 overs.
So is that 20. Like a game that can be played in a day? No, that's an ODI, a one-day international.
Yeah. That can, T20 can be done in three and a half hours.
Yeah, because it's so quick. It's because it's high intensity.
Okay.
High intensity cricket, so.
I'm so confused. You call a three-day game high intensity, then you also get action cricket. So how intense is action cricket then?
It's pretty intense.
I haven't played action cricket, so I wouldn't know.
It's very quick because it's in a smaller place.
Yeah.
And your reflexes... You have to just,
batting techniques, but throws it in the bin, though.
Yeah.
So then, though, I definitely do think this is a great step for you guys personally, and I'm sure you're very proud of your careers thus far and everything you've achieved. So from our side, kudos on everything you've achieved as well. And so there are a lot of exciting things in the future, including the Bangladesh tour that's coming up, right? That's quite cool. So when are you guys leaving?
In October.
Yeah. And how many days are you abroad?
I think it's about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's on the itinerary quickly?
So I think it's 3 ODIs and 2 T20s.
Yeah.
So that's just all we play. And the next year we have England tour that's going to be England West Indies.
So
those games will be curtain raisers for the men. So they will be on TV.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Ladies, thank you guys so much. Now I love that I can walk out and talk. Yeah, so I'll just be watching a T20. Don't you know what a T20 is? Gosh, where do you come from? T20s with the 20 overs. Just in wrapping up, for all three of you personally, where would you like to see your careers go? Let me start with you, Masabata.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for me, I'll say, let's say in 3 years' time to come.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe I'll be somewhere there in overseas playing club cricket, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So.
Laura, what about you?
Obviously, my main goal is making the national team and obviously becoming a fixture in the national team, so... get my place and keep it, basically.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And obviously go overseas and see the world with the national team. And if I can, in the winter, go play in England or somewhere overseas just to get that experience of being away from home for that amount of time and stuff like that.
Exactly. And my dearest Bushy, what about you?
I just want to get back on my feet. I just come off an injury now, so it's nice to be at the academy. So just try and work hard, get back into the side. And, yeah, maybe go overseas, play some cricket. Start teaching people about women's cricket.
Yeah.
Start, because the exposures, yeah, so going over to play some county. So, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it.
Well, ladies, thank you guys so much for stopping by Untapped Talents this morning on cliffcentral.com. I hope to see you guys, like, on cereal boxes. Just dominating everywhere. But it's been absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by. And most importantly, thank you so much for listening. Week after week, you make the show absolutely awesome. So until next week, Friday, 9 a.m., right here on cliffcentral.com. My name is Sia, and I'll see ya.
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.